4 years and 2 months ago, when I first came into this office as president, by far the most difficult problem, by far the most difficult problem confronting the nation was assuming an endless war in Vietnam. 150,000 Americans were stationed in Vietnam. As many as 300 a week were being killed in action. Hundreds were held as prisoners in North Vietnam. The progress would be made in the peace moment. Immediately initiated a program to end the war and win an honorable peace. 11 times. Past 4 years, I have reported to the nation from this night's room on the progress we have made toward that goal. Tonight, the day we have all worked for and prayed for, has finally come. For the first time in 12 years, no American military forces are in Vietnam. All of our American BOWs are now on their way home. The 17 million people of South Vietnam have the right to choose their own future without outside interference. Because of our program of Vietnamization, they have and we have prevented the imposition of a communist government on the people of South Vietnam against their will. There are still some problems. The provisions of the agreement requiring an accounting for all missing in action in Indochina, the provisions with regard to Laos and Cambodia, and the provisions prohibiting infiltration from North Vietnam to South Vietnam have not been complied with. We have and will continue to comply with the agreement. We shall insist that North Vietnam also comply with the agreement. The leaders of North Vietnam should have no doubt as to the consequences if they fail to comply with the agreement. Despite these difficulties, we can be proud of the fact that we have achieved our goal of obtaining an agreement which provides peace with honor in Vietnam. On this day, let us honor those who made this achievement possible, those who sacrificed their lives, those who were disabled, those who made every one of us proud to be an American as they returned from years of communist captivity, and every one of the 2.5 million Americans who served honorably in Vietnam in our nation's longest war. Never have men served with greater devotion in a war in which they seem to have less support at home. Never have men served with greater devotion abroad with less apparent support. Let us provide these men with the veterans' benefits and the job opportunities they have earned. Let us honor them with the respect they deserve. And I say again tonight, let us not dishonor those who serve their country by granting amnesty to those who deserve it. And I don't want to express the appreciation of the nation to others who helped to make this day possible. I refer to you, the great majority of Americans listening, who, despite an unprecedented barrage of criticism from a small but vocal minority, stood firm for peace with honor. I know it was not easy to be reduced. We've been through some difficult times together. I recall the time in November 1969 when hundreds of thousands of protesters marched in the wagons. The time in April 1970 when I found the necessary to order attacks on communist bases in Cambodia. The time in May 1972 when I ordered the mining of Haiphong, striking some military targets in North Vietnam in order to stop a massive communist base in South Vietnam. And then, perhaps the hardest decision I had made as president, on December 18, 1972, when our hopes for peace were so high, and the North Vietnamese stonewalled us in a communist era, I found it necessary to order more scary strikes on military targets in North Vietnam to wait for them. On each of these occasions, the voices of opposition we heard in Washington were so loud, at times, they seemed to be smart. But across America, the overwhelming majority stood firm against those who advocated peace at any price, even if the price would have been defeat and humiliation for the United States. Because you stood firm for doing what was right, major weak spot in our fight against inflation is the area of meat supply prices. I have taken action to increase imports from abroad and production at home. This will increase the supply of meat and will help bring prices down later in the year. But what we need is action that will stop the rise of meat prices now. That is why I have today ordered the Cost of Living Council to impose a ceiling on prices of beef, pork, ceiling will remain in effect as long as it's necessary to do the job. Meat prices must not go higher. With the help of the housewife and the farmer, they can and should go down. This ceiling will help in our battle against inflation, but it is not a permanent solution. We must act on all fronts. Here's where the federal budget comes in. I submit to Congress for the next fiscal year the largest budget in our history, $268 billion. The amount I have requested in this budget for domestic programs in such fields as health, housing, education, and aid to the elderly, the handicapped, and the poor is twice as high as the amount in the first budget I submitted 4 years ago. However, some members of Congress believe the budget in these areas should be even higher. Now, if I were to approve the increases in my budget that have been proposed in the Congress, it would mean a 15% increase in your taxes or higher prices. That is why I shall veto the bills which would break the federal budget which I have spent. If I do not veto these bills, increased prices or taxes would break the